So a bit of information, a bit of introduction. God loves to communicate with his kids. Anyone who's born again is his child, one of his children. And being born again, we have the mind of Christ in order to be able to hear his voice, whether it's a voice or an act of his, and to respond to it. If what you hear doesn't agree with Scripture, throw it out. If what you hear from God produces division or confusion, throw it out. If what you hear from God is pushy and condemning, throw it in the wheelie bin. Get collected tomorrow too. If Jesus isn't the focus, toss it away. It's counterfeit. If it's domineering, a controlling voice, it's counterfeit. The enemy comes along and he creates truth. He speaks truth, but he mixes it with something that's not truth, but it looks good. If you've seen any of my cooking, that's described as my cooking. I can mix stuff that's really legitimate and try to experiment with putting something else in it, and it looks good and it smells good, but it doesn't always taste good. That's what a single man does. Don't ever get single, mate. It's the same with the enemy and us. Now, here's the criteria for recognizing the voice of the Father. The wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, and sincere. That's what comes from the heart of God, because that is the heart of God. And you can receive that. Yes. And every part of God's character agrees with his word. His character and his word are the same. Some common phrases I've heard over the years in relation to me. God told me to do it. God told me not to do it. And God told me to tell you this. That could all be legitimate and acceptable when you hear it, but not necessarily. Not necessarily. It sounds good. Let me give you an instance. When I was doing an interim pastorate in Rochdale Baptist Church in Brisbane, a woman came to me one morning and she said, "I've got a word for the congregation." I said, "Have you?" "Yep." "Let me hear it." "What do you want to hear it for?" "I want to know if it's from God or it's not." "All right." Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I said, "Okay, the second part, you want to speak truth into people's lives, which is good. The first part, you want to name people and where they need to repent. That's breathing death into this congregation. You can say the second part, but not the first part." Wherever I speak to a congregation, wherever I've been, the pastor's always said, "Go ahead." And you're stopping me. Well, I said, "This is your debut today. This is the first time someone stopped you from saying it all." And, "Well, I'm not going to say, if I can't say it all, I'm not going to say anything." "Bye-bye. You're not going to say anything." And at the end of the service, this lady said to Merle, "This is what Sid said to me, etc., etc. But I'm not angry at him." We never saw her again. Why not? The pastor won't let me say the word that I want to say. And he reckons half of it is death to the congregation and the other half is life. I've never felt guilty about that. I had to be very discerning at what this woman wanted to say. Yes. If you ever have a word for someone, whatever it is, don't bash up to them and say, "Boom, boom, boom." Go into your closet. Say, "Lord, is this all from you? And should I share it with them or just pray into their life?" That's what you have to do. Otherwise, you could disturb a person who is the recipient. Yes. Now, I want to talk to you about some ways God communicates to us. Every time I started to think about what can I say about quietness and meditation and just being calm and restful, what can I say? And it kept coming back to God communicating with us, because it's in that sort of environment where I'm not talking, which Australian people generally do most of the time. I'm not talking. I'm not thinking about lunch. I'm not thinking about fishing, which I used to do a lot. I'm just sitting here thinking about God, thinking about His Word, and just receiving what I'm thinking about. I used to get really feeling guilty that I wasn't praying a whole lot of things. Round at our church, round the corner there, we have a list of people to pray for. I don't know 98% of them, don't know who they are, but if I see a name that stands out, I'll pray for them. But otherwise, I won't pray for lists and lists of people. I won't pray for event after event after event. But something that touches my mind, touches my heart, I focus on. So I try not to come to God with whole heaps of words. But I don't think He wants us to have as a priority speaking, asking. I think His highest priority for us is to be quiet. It's to be quiet, be meditative, always listening. You've got two ears to listen, one mouth to speak. And my hearing aids are just about clonked. It doesn't matter. I know what I'm going to say. So we don't need hearing aids to hear the voice of God or sense what He's saying. No hearing aids. It doesn't matter. You're tone deaf. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God can still communicate to you and with you. So here's number one. The scriptures. I won't mention much about the scriptures because you're already there. Hebrews chapter 4 says this. And by the way, you don't have to take notes. If next week I ask you, what did I say last Sunday, what would you say?
Can't quite remember.
That's why I've written 9 of these, of everything I'm saying this morning. So if you want one and look at it again, please take one. Don't let me take any home. It's the most fantastic sermon I've preached for donkey's years. But I haven't preached anything for donkey's years. Take one home, put it on the shelf, open it up now and again and see if it's going to be a help to you. In 12 months' time, you will be along the road in your Christian walk that will make more sense. Yep. Through the scriptures. The word of God in Hebrews 4, for the word of God is living and it's always active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. That's every part of our being as human beings. The scriptures is alive and it's active and, what's the word? Reveals, exposes areas in our thinking, our perspective, and even what we eat as to whether that's okay or it's not. Even to what we eat. Yeah, you can live on Hungry Jack's, you can live on Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're not going to be a big lump of health when you reach middle age. So the Word of God touches every part of our life, even our environment that we create. There was an old guy in one of my churches, old man called Tom. He saw my wife one Sunday watering the garden with slacks on. And he said, "What? Your wife is wearing men's trousers
and she's watering the garden on Sunday. I said, Tom, the plants need water on Sunday. And you think they're men's trousers? Yes, they are. Well, I'll get you an extra pair from inside and you can wear them. Oh, I'm not going to wear those. Why not? They're men's trousers. This old guy, it's no logic. An old Irishman. And then he started spreading it around, my wife, hosing the lawn, hosing the flowers on Sunday and wearing men's trousers. So I said to Merle, when I get hold of that bloke tomorrow, I'm going to bite his nose off. I'm going to give him what for. So that morning, when I was going to see old Tom and give him what for, I read in my devotions 1 Timothy 5:1, do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as he were your father. That put the end of that. I had to pray for the old guy. It didn't change him, but it changed my attitude towards him. Another, just a point on the scriptures. In Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says Jesus, the beginning and the end of the Greek alphabet. Everything that God wants to say is in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I'm the total alphabet that makes up a combination of words that everything God wants to say to us. And Jesus must be the focus of our very life, of our very thoughts, of our very future. Yes. All right, number two. And by the way, when you read the scripture, don't dash through what you're reading and then turn on the TV. I've had my reading for today. No, read the scripture. Read it slow. Read it slow. Think about it as you read. And let it have its work in you. Don't rush it or ignore it. Now, through dreams, in the days, last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall have visions and your old men shall dream dreams. I think I'm probably an old man. That's the category. I don't know where it begins or it ends. Just to mention, I don't think prophecy or visions and dreams are prophecy, dreams and visions. I think they're all interchanged. Young men shall have visions, but they'll also have dreams. Old men shall dream dreams, but they'll also have visions, you see? It's intertwining circles. Let me tell you about a dream I had 5-6 years ago now. I couldn't interpret it. I didn't know what the heck it meant. I mentioned the dream to people and they thought they knew what it meant, but it didn't. It just didn't ring true. And so 5 years on, I went to bed one night and the dream came to me and I knew the interpretation, because the dream had to do with 1 year ago when my wife passed into the presence of Jesus. This was the dream that he gave me 6 years ago. It was two pastors from the church I go to looking after a warehouse, and I came along with my little garden trolley loaded with the veggies, and I said, look after the veggies, boys, and I'll be back in a few minutes. So when I come back, I said, where's my little cart? They said, we've thrown it away because it's rusty, some bolts missing, the wheels squeak, so we want you to come with us. And they took me to the other shed, and in there was a brand new garden trolley, brand new.
New paint, smell nice, look good, never been used. Now you're going to use this trolley from here on in. The interpretation of that, everything from this point backwards, like your memories, you can remember things, but don't live back there. You're starting from here. The new trolley is your new life, your new beginning, your new normal. And that's how it's been in the last 12 months and 1 week. Developing a new normal without a wife after 61 years. So that's what the dream was all about. Why did he give me a dream right back there 5-6 years ago? I don't know. If I knew that, I'd be God. I don't know. But he gave it to me, and then I received it. That's how good God is. So he speaks to us through dreams. I've had many dreams, not every day, but I've had many dreams. And this is what I've learned. It might be the same for you or not. If I remember every detail of a dream in the morning, I say, that's from God. If I don't remember every detail, I toss it out. So a number of times I've had a dream, I remember in the morning all the detail and I write it down. And it may not be revealed then, but it might. So he does speak through dreams. Through dreams. All right? Number three is worship. Now worship, we've had worship this morning, singing worship. But worship is 24/7. It's every day. Well, every night. We worship God all the time. We're conscious. He's with us 24/7. He never leaves. He's always with us. Always. When you walk in the bush, you feel such a warmth of belongingness, and you enjoy the vistas of scenery, and you enjoy it. Thank you, Lord. That's a worship issue. There's a warmth in you that comes from God in relation to his creation. When we're sitting quietly, what do we do? Do we watch television? Do we carry on some hobby that we have? Do we spend our time eating? Sorry, but there's always a temptation. But the quietness, sitting quiet, is very difficult for us Aussies, isn't it? Especially when you're on your own. Sit quietly. Just think about the things above, the place where you, if you're born again, the place where you live, where you belong. You're an alien in the earth. You belong in the presence of Jesus. Think about the things that are above, relatives and friends and parents that have gone on ahead. You'll meet them. One of the dreams I had was when we were working with YWAM up at Townsville, and I had a dream, and I woke up suddenly and I said to Merle, hey, I just had a dream, and it's from God. It's amazing. What? The three miscarriages you had just soon after we were married, Jesus had got them with him, and they would have been growing up now, because the dream, while I was standing talking to Jesus, I was in heaven talking to Jesus, and three kids come up and ran around my legs and grinned, g'day, Dad. I said to Jesus, who are these? They were the three miscarriages that Mel had. So when I see them, when I go to be with them, they'll be growing up to whatever extent, and I'll see these three miscarriages. Then I looked over the back of Jesus, and there were hundreds, if not thousands, of kids. I said, who are those kids? And he said, they're the abortions that's been performed on your planet Earth. I don't destroy that which I create. How's that? Just one of my dreams I had. Worship. Sometimes Lois and I have set up at the back of our place a place where there's a screen to keep the rain out, a plastic screen to keep the wind out, and it's not an enclosed room like a lounge. It's an open space area. We call it the sunroom, S-O-N room. If anyone needs someone to talk to, I invite them round for a cup of coffee and non-homemade scones. And many times I sit out there and I sit and think. I sit and think about the word I've read. I think about some of the life I've lived. I think about some of the aspects of life where Merle and I have enjoyed. I think about the things of God. I think about what's heaven like. And I meditate upon all this stuff in the quietness. In the quietness of out there. No one disturbs me. I don't have a lot of visitors. So that's not too bad. And so there I am. So I don't pray for anything. I just quietly thank God for so much. Many times that's all I'm doing out there. And it's a necessity. It helps me realign my thinking and my whole attitude to who I am as far as God is concerned. One word in the Old Testament for worship is to kiss towards. It's a relational word between father and child. Yes. And when we come quietly and sit and think of the things of God, we are really ministering to his heart. And the highest priority that he wants from us is to do just that. Just to do this. Don't fill your head with everything. Focus on me and just praise me. Thank me. Just relate to me as your heavenly Father. That's what he wants more than anything. Usually out of that comes all kinds of ministry and thoughts and motivations. That's what I've discovered. So the worship, wherever we are, is vital. Anyone who's flat-tack busy all the time, they're going to miss out on hearing the voice of God or understanding what he's trying to say to us. All right. Number four, you're counting it off. 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through others. A word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy. The Greek is not word, it's message. Message of wisdom, message of knowledge, message of prophecy. In other words, message from God's heart through someone's heart to mine. That's the message. And in their wisdom, knowledge and prophecy, there are people who will come out with a prophetic statement, come out with words of knowledge, in other words, knowing something about me that the Lord's revealed to them that they might speak to me about or pray in their closet about. And wisdom is always there when for the asking. So God speaks to each other through each other, and we need to be available for God to do that. Hey? All right. He speaks to us through pictures. Through letting us see something in our mind eye, it's like a vision that he will communicate to us. Once when I was in the Solomon Islands for 2 weeks for a visit, before I ever went to live there, I said, Lord, when I go to the Solomons, I know there's lots of weird things happen. Let me come in contact with some of those weird things. And we were in a man-made island in Western Malaita, Nongasilla, and middle of the day they always sleep and rest for 2 hours. And so as I was lying or walking, as I was lying in the bed, one of the team of 10 come walking past me, and in his back I saw these great big fish hooks in his back pulling on his skin, about 4 of them for 2 seconds. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, what is that? What is that that I'm seeing? And in 3 days, the Holy Spirit said nothing. In other words, figure it out. So I said, all right. It's something that's got hold of him that he can't get rid of it because it's... So I took him aside on the 4th day and I said, are you addicted to anything? He said, yeah. I'm addicted to pornography. Are you? I told him about the hooks in his back.
I said, mate, we've got to do something about this. He said, I know, I'm getting married in 2 months and I can't do anything about it. So we went into the plantation. I prayed into his life. I prayed warfare and gave him some information like, you go past that newsagent, don't you dare walk in that newsagent. Walk here, walk past it. Go to the lolly shop, the butcher shop, anything. Don't go in the newsagent. Where he is today, I don't know. But God showed me that on the guy's back. Well, I asked him to show me these things, and that's what he did. So he speaks to us through pictures. Sometimes when you might be praying for someone, there might be a picture come up to do with that person, and which shows you the way to pray for that person. I don't know, it happens. He communicates to us through silence. When we're praying to know what God's will is and we need an answer at a certain time, if God doesn't say anything when needed, he could be either saying no or you make the decision. And James 1:5 is my favourite. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. If you don't know what God wants, what decision you need to make, ask for wisdom and just make the decision. He doesn't want you to go wrong. But we can't just put it all in his court. He's behind us, giving us strength and courage and leading us, but we have to make decisions. All right. Getting close to the end, stirring within our spirit. I don't know if you understand that. When you're born again, we have the mind of Christ and we have the Holy Spirit living in our spirit. In 1998, almost 100 years ago, David, I had a cerebellum infarct. Do you understand what that is? Cerebellum area is the back here, equilibrium and balance. Infarct is death. So I have a part of my brain 3.5 centimetres across that's been dead since 1988. It's the balance area. Up to my mid-70s, I was fine. Beyond my mid-70s, when I'm walking down the main street and there's a little bit of a camber on the footpath, I find myself going over towards the gutter. Then I say, and then I act like this is what I want to do and just wander back on the path. I don't know how close to death I came, but it's what I experienced. And my future was gone. My pastoral ministry was gone. My quality of life is gone. I'm done. I'm finished. 11 days in hospital after 2 weeks at home. They're supposed to give me 3 months off. I've had it. So I hopped out of bed one morning and said, no, I'm not going to be a cripple. I'm not going to collapse. My future is my future, and I'm going to make sure that I do have a future. I did all my only physio, and now I'm about as normal as what I've ever been. All right, 5 minutes, David. All right. Sometimes, very quickly, he lets things happen or he makes them happen to get our attention. Whenever, if we're having a good experience or a bad experience, we need to ask the question, Lord, are you saying something to me here? What are you trying to say? And that's a good thing. Even in bad experiences, a good thing to ask. All right. Moses, going from point A to point B, what made him stop? Good grief, he said. There's a bush up there on fire, absolutely on fire. But it's not burning. I'll go over and have a look. And then God said, hey, take your shoes off, mate. You're on holy ground. Righto. Last bit, David. Practical suggestions. Please take one of these later.
If we think God is saying something to us, but we aren't sure what he wants, approach someone you trust who can give you guidance or confirmation. Number two, all who are born again can receive guidance and leading from God. He is wanting to see in us that we are willing to hear and do what we hear. But I'm not educated. Doesn't matter. I've only been a Christian 6 months. It doesn't matter. I have trouble remembering things. It doesn't matter. Stop looking at us and our maladies. Look at God and how good he is in getting past all of that stuff to communicate something. We will always be learning how he speaks to us. It may be different from the ways he speaks to others, but having a willing heart and want to receive is essential. Another 3 minutes, David. An Aboriginal girl, top part of the territory, a little girl was being baptised in water in a creek in an Aboriginal settlement, and there was the Christians, and next to them was a man who was leading all the ugly people against Christians. And as the father of the girl being baptised was going to baptise her, she said, "Daddy, no, we got to dig a hole over there in the sand." He said, "What for?" "I don't know. Jesus said to dig a hole." So he went over and he dug a hole. 1 meter down, he brought out this piece of sandstone which had a cross that was chiseled out in relief on the stone. And the guy who was the biggest pain in the neck to the Christians in that settlement said, "I don't know who this Jesus is, but I want to know him, if that's what he does." That's Aboriginal talk, you see. And so that guy became a Christian. And a number of his friends did too. So, number four, even a newborn Christian can hear the guidance and leading of God. And a Christian, less than a year, I felt a desire welling up to go to cross-cultural ministry. I didn't go until 37 years later. And whatever you do, do not put parameters on God. He doesn't have any. So don't put them on. God doesn't do this, God do that. God will do whatever he wants to do. And his only limitations is you and me. Thank you, David. Let me pray. Father, amongst all the words, amongst all the stuff that I've been saying, just take out what needs to be taken out and arrest the attention of those who need to hear and understand the part that you take out. And that's the blessing I ask all those who want to hear, want to receive, and want to be who you want them to be. And I ask it for your glory, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Sid. As Dave explained at the beginning, we're just going to finish a little bit differently. Now, all of you know I have a mind that goes like 120 miles an hour. So this one's going to be a challenge for me. So when I say this, if you're like me, just take a deep breath and we're going to survive it together. What we're going to do is we're going to sit for 4 minutes. I couldn't make myself do five. 4 minutes in silence and solitude. And one of the things I got out of what Sid was saying was in each of his stories was about expecting God to do something, expecting God to say something. And so I'd really encourage us in these 4 minutes of silence and solitude is that we discipline ourselves. And they say at about the point of a minute and a bit, you get really uncomfortable and you want to fiddle. You want to do the phone or you want to do something. Ride through that. And let's expect for God to say something to us. Whether it be, it's all okay. Whether it be, I'm here. Whether he gives you a picture or a vision. And if he does, come and tell Pastor Dave or the elders afterwards. We'd love to hear what God is saying.